Big Murn in the morning, live on this wonderful chilly Friday afternoon. Well, for starters, yesterday did not go as planned. I was hoping to go 4-for-4 to start the Sweet 16. It didn't happen, right? But the one thing I will tell you what did happen was how I said it was going to happen for all the teams happened. But the outcome wasn't the same, which is, oh man, strange for me. The only thing that didn't happen that I thought would need to be done for a win was Bone getting 8 assists for Tennessee. But let's talk Florida State-Gonzaga. Florida State did what I thought. You know, they were grinding out. They were tough. But Gonzaga looked like tougher. You know, they were getting the more like tip passes and block shot. But then Florida State started playing really good, really tough. But they couldn't get a basket. And that's a problem playing the most efficient team offensively in the country in Gonzaga. So Florida State started grinding out, getting steals, getting in transition. Couldn't get a basket. That's a problem. Can't win that way. I mean, it was a lot closer than the final score indicated. Gonzaga really won that game by about, I guess, they held on to a double-digit lead for the majority of the game. So, but, you know, Florida State did cut it down. You know, it was cut down about 7 points with a couple minutes to go. And then Gonzaga pulled off, made all their free throws. Florida State was jacking up shots, couldn't make them. Problem is, if you cannot make three-pointers in college basketball, like if you get cold from three-point line, you're just probably not going to win. So I do feel bad for Florida State because they played great. I mean, and the big guy, you got to be kind of pissed off. I mean, like, the refs got to do a better job at calling fouls on these big guys. I mean, I understand it looks like a goddamn tree standing in the paint, but, I mean, if he's not, they're the one time they're like, oh, he shouldn't have jumped. He didn't jump. He, like, raised up to his tippy toes. His feet never left the ground. I mean, he's still on his feet. I mean, I don't. Then he leaned over the guy once the play was almost dead, and he touched only the ball. Excuse me, guys. I apologize. It's pretty early this morning, and I'm just trying to still recover. Anyways, so I blew it. You know, I took Florida State. I was wrong. You know, in the second matchup, you know, to start 0-2, I took Tennessee. Now, that whole game, that didn't play out the way I thought it would, that Tennessee game. But the end, Tennessee came back, and they learned that from one team. They got that blueprint to march back and not to give up. They learned that from one team. So if they would have come back and won that game, I would have expected thank you letters to the University of Iowa for showing them how heart can get you back in the game no matter how far you're down in the second half. But needless to say, the comeback wasn't complete. The same exact thing that happened to Iowa happened to them. A lot of Twitter comments. This is why people think sports is rigged. That was BS. Here's where I'll elaborate. There's a couple times in the game where the call was absolute trash. One being the Admiral Schofield put back dunk. That was kind of where the momentum started to change. They took away. That ball had moved off of the cylinder and was free game. Not even a minute and a half later in the Gonzaga game, they had one that was closer than that. And everyone just cheered and erupted and roared. And it was great. It wasn't even considered to be basket interference. Now, the last possession of the game. Here are the questions, the question marks. Was it 5 seconds? Was it a 5-second call? I didn't sit there and count it, but if you're just looking at your, you know, your personal counter, you know how you just think like, okay, oh man, you better get it off. It's going to be 5 seconds. Oh man, you still don't get off. How's it not 5 seconds? Oh, he got it off. That's how it felt. You know, I was like, that's more than 5 seconds, but I didn't count it out. I didn't want Mississippi or whatever, however you want to do it. But I did notice, to get free, Carson Edwards shoved the defender. Clear push off. Then I did see that Carson Edwards goes up for the shot, does the Reggie Miller kick. Might get his jersey touched. I mean, I don't think it even touched his body. Like, I mean, it might have touched his jersey. The body of the defender might have touched his jersey. It was not a foul. It was a terrible call. It was closer to being out of bounds than being a foul. And they didn't slow it down one time to see if he was actually out of bounds. I've seen on Twitter some people had the slow-mo footage. They were trying to prove that it was out of bounds. I didn't really see it that it was out of bounds. I thought it was really close. Thought his foot was out of bounds, but not touching. So, like, elevated over out of bounds. At the end of the day, Klein hit big shot after big shot. Then Admiral Schofield just took over and showed why he should be a, you know, easy first round pick, you know, top 15 probably. Guy's good. Inside outside game, you got to respect that he gets a big shots to make that comeback happen. Problem is, sometimes it comes down to a coin flip, a judgment call, and they're not always right. You get to overtime, you can't make your free throws, you can't get a stop. The same thing happened to Iowa. That overtime, Tennessee's offense looked just like Iowa's. Taking tough shots, missing tough shots. Getting the free throw line, missing from the free throw line. Tough break for Tennessee. I really thought I'd see them in the Elite Eight at least, maybe in the Final Four. But, you know, like I said, sometimes it comes down to a judgment call. And it was not in their favor. But, anyways, beyond that, the next two picks were as good as they come. Let's talk Texas Tech, Michigan. These guys couldn't score a basket. I thought it might be a defensive battle. I really thought so. And I thought that Jared Culver would find a way to will Texas Tech to the victory. What I'm surprised about is how the Texas Tech coach has found a way to literally stifle the last two offenses. And I mean, Michigan's offense is nothing to write home about. They're more of a defensive team, but what, they held them to, what, 48 points? That's amazing to hold someone to that amount of points. That's a great performance. Texas Tech, I know I said it last night or yesterday, and I said, you know, it's got to be now for Gonzaga to get upset, but going to play Texas Tech, I think they got to be upset by Texas Tech. This is where they got to. Otherwise, they got to win it all. I mean, it's either Tech or Gonzaga. I mean, one of these guys is going to go to the Final Four, you know, and have a good shot at winning it all. But I think that if Texas Tech can beat Gonzaga, they'll get that oomph back, you know, that they want. I mean, they're on a roll now, you know. They've shooken off that West Virginia loss in the Big 12 tournament. They're ready to play. They're a scary team. I got them upsetting Gonzaga next round. In the final game, Virginia doing exactly what I was hoping to see. Not overlook their opponent. Be happy to be in the tournament where they're at. And play Virginia basketball. Good offensively. Move the ball defensively. Don't worry what the other team's doing besides stopping them, controlling them. You know, you can't control a big shot going down. You can't control a lucky bounce or a lucky layup. But you can play good defense. And Virginia showed you can win with good defense. But hey, you know, it is Friday. The Sweet 16 does continue. So in our first matchup, we got LSU and Michigan State. This is a tough one. Michigan State. Honestly, before the tournament, you'd assume they'd roll in this because they were hot. You know, they're a hot team. I'm going to LSU. I don't care if they got a bunch of, you know, their coaches and on the bench and they got some crazy stuff going on. I'm going to LSU to beat Michigan State by about 5. Then you got Auburn and North Carolina. I'd say Auburn before the tournament started, but I'm switching my pick to UNC. I think they got enough grit. I think they have the intelligence by a guy like Luke May. And Kobe White has the swag. North Carolina advancing past Auburn today. Duke's going to roll over Virginia Tech. Vitek's not going to hang. That's not going to be close. Duke's going to roll. And in probably the most intriguing matchup, Houston and Kentucky. I mean, how healthy is Washington? You know, is PJ Washington's health is really what it comes down to? From everything I've read, it looks like he's going to play. And, you know, Kentucky's favored to win. But I'm taking Houston. I'm taking Houston with a tough defensive matchup. I think they're going to play tough defense. They're going to hit enough shots and get – they're not going to get Michigan again, okay? They should have beat Michigan last year. Got killed on the last shot. Crazy shot by Poole. Oh, God. Sorry, man. It is just getting the best of me this morning. But I got Houston taking down Michigan. So that's what we got today. We got Duke. We have Houston. All right. We have North Carolina. And last but not least, LSU. LSU, North Carolina, Duke, Houston. That's what we're going today, okay? Baseball, we'll talk about it tomorrow. We'll recap on the Sweet 16 because it was an absolute shit show besides the Cincinnati Reds winning and I called that one. But beyond that, a shit show in baseball for me for the most part. Cubs, Reds won. Besides that, pretty much a shit show. But we'll talk about that tomorrow morning. I look forward to seeing you then. McMurrin in the Morning is out. It's McMurrin in the Morning here on a brisk Saturday morning in good old Cedar Rapids, Iowa. As always, we're sponsored by Ballster Lawn Care and Snow Removal. As the spring is here, make sure you get in contact with Ballster Lawn Care for any of your lawn care needs. Whether that is getting rid of your leaves or simply having a guy come cut your grass. Whether you're a business or it's just your house. Whether you're 65 or you're just a lazy guy on a couch. Ballster's going to be there for all your lawn care needs. Going forward. Gosh, man. Did we learn a valuable lesson yesterday? We did. And we've learned it throughout this podcast experience. Stick with your heart. Stick with your guns. What are you doing, Luke? What are you doing? You tell the people. You tell the viewers. You say, oh, man, I'm big on Auburn. You know, I'm big. And I like them. And I'm taking them. But I'm going to take North Carolina today. What the hell is wrong with you? How many times have you done that in the first week? At least 6 or 7. Everyone's like, man, it sucks to have a busted bracket. I'm looking at my bracket like, my shit's not busted. How the hell is my bracket not busted, but my picks suck? Went 1 for 3 yesterday. The reason is because I keep getting, you know, excited. I'll go off of a one game thing. Oh, like, man, they looked really good last game. North Carolina looked super good. I mean, I think they're gonna do it. They're gonna beat Auburn, even though coming into the tournament, I thought Auburn was the best 5 seed we ever seen. So I gotta stick to my guns, guys. I mean, it's getting out of hand. I mean, it really is. Just out of hand. I pick a team, let them go. Pick a team, let them go. Now, are my brackets doing great? No. They're not. I got an exciting bracket with Texas Tech winning it all. Another exciting bracket with Duke winning it all. And one more exciting bracket with Virginia winning it all. Now, each of these brackets have the potential to, depending on the champion, to end in the top 1%. I got a buddy. I'm giving him a shout out. Old Pistol, old Aaron. You know, as of yesterday, the man was in the 99th percentile. You know, and I did that last year. Last year, we go in the Sweet 16. My bracket, literally, there's two people with better brackets than me in the country, in the world. And like how it happened was, well, sorry, not two people. There's two scores better than mine. How it happened was, there was a score that was 10 points better than mine, and then one that was 30 better than mine. Now, the one that was 30 better than mine, there was like 10 people or 20 people with that bracket. I mean, it was like very low. Because at this point in time, no one had a perfect bracket. And that's what it was like. So then you look and you see the other bracket, and they're 10 points. But that one that was 10 points, there was like 200,000 people with that same amount of points in their bracket. So I was like 200. I was like 87,000. Yeah, that's where I was. 87,000. So out of 150 million, I was feeling pretty good. And then I went 2 for 6 in the Sweet 16. I just went 3 for 5. I mean, I'm not good in the Sweet 16, I guess. I guess I must start. I don't know what it is. But this year, you know, this was... this year, I kind of picked off of... Didn't even use my bracket. I was just kind of talking to you guys, you know, and my viewers, and saying, you know, hey, let's get it done. You know, let's see what I like. This is what I'm thinking. You know, it was all short-term stuff. But, I mean, that's that. You know, it happens. You know, you're not always going to be perfect. These guys on ESPN, First Take, these guys aren't perfect. But thing is, they probably won't even tell you they're wrong. It's you know, it's like pulling teeth, getting a I was wrong out of these guys. But, well, it's there for me, man. First place it's there is, I said, gosh, man, I think Michigan State might roll. But, you know, LSU is just tough, man. They're going to put that not having their coach aside. And it can't, you know, it without having your leader on the sideline, I mean, I can see where the game turned. You know, it just, you know, you need a leader to call that timeout when it becomes 8-0 and, you know, get you guys under control, convince you guys you're still in the game, and bring you guys back. Beyond that, though, you're going against a veteran coach. And LSU just had Michigan State just had a wonderful game. I mean, they were just... They play team basketball, and when you play team basketball, you sometimes lose in college. You do, but most times you don't. Okay, it's like every now and then the other team will just have some star player, some crazy player, and you'll lose. It happens. I don't even want to talk about the second game. Auburn just handles North Carolina the entire, you know, from the second half buzzer on. They just, you know, it's really that last play of the first half just changed the entire course of the game. Auburn handles business against North Carolina. But it's scary for Auburn because Okiki had to get x-rays. He's their best player, you know, in my opinion, because he's a big, and they're going to need him in the tourney. Let's wish him a fast recovery. Duke, I have no idea what the hell was going on and why Virginia Tech was able to hang around and have the lead at halftime. But Duke found themselves behind and surged back in front once again. Most tournament-tested team so far in the tournament, the Duke Blue Devils. And you don't hear that often, you know. So they're a scary team. And again, Zion just doing what Zion does. Man goes 11 for 14. It's amazing. It's amazing. Over 70% from the field. Gosh, this guy is crazy. Kid's crazy good. And he has a great person. Like, you know, he has a great, like, attitude and personality. You just don't find that in an 18-year-old. Last game, Kentucky-Houston. Everyone knew it was going to be a battle. It was. Houston fought themselves back into the game. Couldn't close the gap enough to win. Couldn't get the buckets going. I thought their defense was going to be the key. It happened to be the Kentucky defense. PJ Washington having some big plays off the bench. I didn't know if he was even going to play, to be honest. The reports were back and forth. I think his 16 points had a big, had a lot to do with it. They made a big difference. I mean, the kid's a stud. He went 6 for 8 from the field. You know, when you're shooting that good, you know, 75%, you only have to take that many shots. You got 16 points. The leading scorer, Brooks, for Houston had 20, and he shot 14 shots. So that just shows you there. And I mean, it sucks because the three best players for Houston, they combined for 44 points, which is not bad for three players, but they usually score 60, you know, so it's, you know, close to 60. So it's like, you know, it sucks. You know, it sucks for them. But Houston does it again, gets knocked out of the tourney. We're back where we were, on to the Elite Eight. So, I'll talk to you guys tomorrow morning. Until then, McMurrin's out.